I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, indeed, here we are, another Saturday morning, here, as I record this. I don't know what time it is where you're watching. I mean, you could be watching in the middle of the night with your covers over your head and your tiny little video player. Yeah, okay, so I did that when I was a kid, but I didn't have a video player. I had a radio. It was a long time ago. Yeah. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I tell you what, I'm having a good geeky day today. I trust you are as well. We're going to get directly into the netcast by going to the blog. The blog, of course, is the blog, and that is drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. And of course, we go there because I blog during the week about the things that are interesting to me. Now, if they're not interesting to me, I don't blog about them. I'm funny that way. Anyway. Yeah. Always got to put a zinger in there, don't you, Fred? Yeah. Good old Fred. Fred, by the way, is my imaginary friend. Say hi, Fred. You notice he spells his name with a PH. I think he wants to be a PhD. It may be that he's envious of my credentials. Yeah, well, that's just the way he spells it, he says, so fine. Anyway, yes, I have a PhD in theology and an ND, Doctor of Naturopathy, so I have two doctorates. I know, some people have called me an overachiever. Some people have called me odd. And they may be right. At any rate, none of that has anything to do with anything at all. Other than Fred's PH. Actually, you know, come to think about it, he does have a PhD. It's just that it's at the beginning of his name is a PH and at the end is a D. So, technically, he has a PhD. Way to go, Fred. Yeah. Okay. So, the blog. DrBill.tv. Of course, the TV is the fact that we are a netcast on video television type thing. Anyway, so let's get into the blog. The blog, of course, our first item. It's official. The KitKat version of Android is out. Okay. I like KitKats, just for the record. You know, the chocolate bars with the crunchiness. What's not to like? Anyway, and I'm sure I'm going to like the KitKat version of Android because I like things, all things Androidy. Yes. Yes, including those types of droids. Yeah. Anyway, just in time for Halloween, it says, we have two new treats for Android fans. First, we're excited to unwrap our latest platform release, KitKat, which delivers a smarter, more immersive Android experience to even more people. And second, we're introducing Nexus 5, a new Nexus phone developed with LG. Now, I like my LG Optimus Pro phone, and it is awesome. So, it'll be interesting to see this. I have not actually had my hands on a Nexus 5 because it's brand spanking new. They just released it. So, but I am looking forward to the new version of KitKat, which they say later in this article is coming. I'm going to read it here. Android 4.4, which is called KitKat, which comes on the Nexus 5, will soon be available on Nexus 4, 7, 10, the Samsung Galaxy S4 and HTC One Google Play Edition devices in coming weeks. Which means, where is it? I'll get it. It's back here. My precious. Nexus 10 device. Isn't it lovely? I have the optional, well, very optional. It doesn't come from Google. Bluetooth keyboard, which actually comes out even. It's kind of magnetically locked in place. So, anyway, in this leather case, it's leather. Anyway, I'm just having too much fun. Anyway, so I'll put that down here with the trusty netbook, the Acer netbook. Why do you have a netbook down there, Dr. Bill? Well, it's not like I'm using it for anything. Just saying. Anyway, so coolness. So yes, that is coming. And there's a video. A video of the new Googleification of the Android operating system. And you may watch the video at your leisure. I know I'm in a bit of a weird mood. But aren't I always? Anyway, also next item, Pandora is now on Google Chromecast. But wait! Isn't everything on Google Chromecast? Now, I know some of you are going to say, Dr. Bill, come on. We trust you for tech knowledge. Don't you know that Google Chromecast doesn't have a bunch of apps? That's why most people don't like it? Or not don't like it, but are disappointed. Well, I think the Chromecast is as awesome as the invention of sliced bread. Yes. And I like bread sliced. I like bread just about any way it comes. But I digress. The point is that the Google Chromecast, what people don't seem to get this. The Google Chromecast, if you're using a Chrome browser, will cast to your TV anything that you have in your Chrome browser. That means Chrome applications like Angry Birds. That means, you know, if you're listening to your Amazon MP3 player in your Chromecast, I mean, in your PC session, you can send that over to the Chromecast and the sound will come out of your TV speakers and you'll see on the screen the application. Now, does Amazon have an application for the Chromecast? No. But you can put it up there through the Chrome browser. And so it is with all of the stuff you might want to see. For instance, there's a new TV show that the jury's still out. Some TV shows I take to quickly. Others, they have to grow on me. And this is one that still hasn't quite settled in yet as a good show for me, and that is The Tomorrow People. It's okay. But it leaves me just a little cold. It doesn't grab me, you know? Now, by example, a show that does grab me, that I love, and that I catch no matter what, DVR, whatever it may take, is Continuum. Awesome show. It's Canadian. Canadian. I like to do that just for fun. Anyway, it's a Canadian show and it's awesome. It's all timey-wimey, as Doctor Who would say. Very cool. Anyway, so I like that show. Tomorrow People, they're still working some things out. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I missed an episode of Tomorrow People. My DVR, I'm still learning my new DVR. I got the new Plex system from North State, which is, by the way, totally awesome. If you're anywhere where you can get Plex, dude, why aren't you getting Plex? because it's like TV and DVR through fiber optic. It's 30 meg down, 30 meg up internet, which, by the way, as you can tell up here, there is my blinky router. blinky. Which you can see is delivering internets to me. So anyway, it's awesome. So I was still learning the DVR, and so I missed the Tomorrow People, and I went, because, you know, I got to give it a shot. So I thought, ooh, I wonder if the CW has the full episodes on their website. So I went there, and they did. But because it's in the Chrome browser, and because I can use Chromecast, I was able to put it up on the big, giant screen in my living room and watch it just like it was coming over the regular TV, except without commercials. Yes. So, Chromecast! What's the matter with you people? It's only $35! Why aren't you buying one? Why aren't you using one? What's the matter with you? Does your brain not work properly? Okay. By the way, I am not a member of the Google official advertising community, nor do I advertise Chromecast on the show, but it's just plain awesome. So there. Anyway, so I say in the article here in the blog, I still don't get why people think Chromecast is a bust because it doesn't have apps. It can stream anything that you can view in your Chrome browser. Come on, people, think. I seem to have an issue with this, don't I? That means anything I can see or listen to on the internet, I can now watch on my big screen TV. That's pretty much the world. Last night I watched a TV show, The Tomorrow People on the CW, but if you want local apps, okay. Here's Pandora. And others. They now have Vimeo, Redbox Instant, Netflix, that's important, and YouTube and Hulu Plus, and now Pandora. Okay? And it's fine. You know, you got your tablet, and you punch your screen buttons, and it goes to your Chromecast. Well, whoopee-doo. I can still do it with my browser on my PC. And I know some of you are saying, well, Dr. Bill, most of us don't have a computer right in front of us when we're watching TV so that we can do these things through the browser. Really? Oh. Well, there you go. I, of course, have a computer in front of me at all times. Wherever I am. You say, but Dr. Bill, you don't have a computer in front of you now. Yes. Yes, I do. Just saying. Well, I am a fairly strange individual. So anyway, they've added apps to the Chromecast. So go for it. I know I'm an odd person. Next item, bad bias. Now, just in case you're wondering, the bias, I call it that, B-I-O-S, is the basic input-output system, BIOS, which I call the BIOS. You know, it's like being biased, which is B-I-A-S, biased. I'm biased against you. Actually, I'm not, but I'm using it in a sentence as an example. So, or that ref is biased toward the other team. Another example. What would I know about sports? Anyway, the point is, bad BIOS, OS, is malware. Malware. But it says here it jumps air gaps. Really? Really? In other words, I have device A here, and there's no wires, and there's no Wi-Fi connection. And it jumps to my PC sitting here in front of me? I don't know about that. Now, I don't want to see it. I started to say, I would like to see that. No, I don't want to see it because it does terrible, evil things. Let me read you a little bit of the article. From Ars Technica, I got this. 3 years ago, security consultant Dragos Rui? We'll call him Dragos. What a first name. You know, it sounds like he's an evil supervillain. Dragos. Da-da-dum. Anyway. Hey, Dragos, you know, no hard feelings. I'm sure that in some country, the name Bill means something other than the doctor variety of Bill. Get it? Doctor. Yeah. Okay, bad joke. Anyway, Dragos says when he was in his lab, he noticed something highly unusual. His MacBook Air, cool machine, his MacBook Air on which he had just installed a fresh copy, brand spanking new fresh copy of OS X, or 10, spontaneously updated the firmware that helped it boot. I would think something was afoot too. Stranger still, when Dragos, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, then tried to boot the machine off a CD-ROM, it refused. It said, no. He also found that the machine could delete data and undo configuration changes with no prompting. Okay, now it's getting really bad. He didn't know it then, but the odd firmware update would become a high-stakes malware mystery that would consume most of his waking hours. In the following months, he observed more odd phenomenon that seemed straight out of a science fiction thriller. A computer running the OpenBSD operating system also began to modify its settings and delete its data without explanation or prompting. His network transmitted data specific to the Internet's next-generation IPv6 networking protocol, even from computers that were supposed to have IPv6 completely disabled. Strangest of all, the ability of infected machines to transmit small amounts of network data with other infected machines, even when their power cords and Ethernet cables were unplugged and their Wi-Fi and Bluetooth cards were removed. What? Further investigation soon showed that the list of affected operating systems also included multiple variants of Windows and Linux. This guy must have quite a lab, you know what I'm saying? And he said, we were like, okay, we're totally owned. Yeah. We have to erase all our systems and start from scratch, which we did. It was a very painful exercise. I've been suspicious of stuff around here ever since. In the intervening 3 years, he said, the infections have persisted almost like a strain of bacteria that's able to survive extreme antibiotic therapies. This is bad stuff, folks. I mean, this is really not good. So, ew. So you thought you'd seen really bad malware? Dude, this is really bad malware. So, we'll see what comes of all of that. No! Okay, time for the Geek Software of the Week. Fred would remind us. He likes that drum roll. He lives for the drum roll. Yeah. Everybody's got to have a hobby, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, this week's Geek Software of the Week, in honor of that last item, not saying this necessarily will take care of it, but in honor of it, the Geek Software of the Week is AdAware Free Antivirus Plus. All right. Yes, indeed, you read that right. A free antivirus, the article says. And it comes very highly rated and recommended. Let's face it, Microsoft Security Essentials really isn't up to today's evil minions of virus writing. Wow. But this is a truly commercial quality, free tool for you. Awesomeness. And it has many features. Shall we talk about some of the features that it has? It has! It is a fast, super fast antivirus that complements Adware's legendary anti-spyware. The Adware program is one of the first anti-spyware programs I used back in the day. Okay, it has download protection. It scans your downloads regardless of the file format before they have a chance to damage your PC. It automatically protects the computer by doing automatic updates of threats that have been determined to be evil. There's a game mode, silent mode protection, that allows you to play your games and watch your movies without being disturbed. Like, pop up and go, "Ooh, there's evilness afoot." You don't want that when you're in the middle of fragging an opponent. You know what I'm saying? Yes. At least that's what the game master tells me. So, safe browsing protects you while you browse the web by validating a constantly updated list of known bad URLs, URLs, uniform resource locators, in case you wonder what that meant, and websites. Legendary anti-spyware, Adware is the most downloaded security software, 450 million downloads and counting. Real-time protection blocks or suspends malicious processes. Take your pick. A, B, or C. It processes and infected files before they try to start or connect to your system. Pinpoint scanning. Blocks or suspend. That's the early one. The real-time protection. This is pinpoint scanning. Scan only the files or folders you want directly from their original location. Yes. Malware sandbox emulator. Emulation technology that helps protect users from unidentified or new variants of malware. Have you ever had your throat get scratchy? Right in the middle of talking? I don't like it. And of course, as usual, I forgot to bring any water to drink. I could drink some water. I will drink some virtual water now. Doesn't work. I need real water, not virtual water. I'm funny that way. All right, last item, fortunately, because my throat's so dry. Windows XP drops, Windows 8.1 rises. In terms of market share, of course, that's what we're talking about. Actually, this is good news from a security perspective. Windows XP is, if it is still in use after April of 2014, it will become a huge gaping security hole in the internet. Because there's no more patches. So, my recommendation to you, don't use XP anymore. Now, I know some of you out there going, "But Dr. Bill, I want to use XP. I really love XP. I want..." Get over yourself. Okay? I must have a mean streak today. Yes. Oh, well. All right, Windows 8.1 surges in uses as XP continues to drop. So people are finally upgrading to 8 now that 8.1 is out. Most people do wait for the first service pack or first bug fix version before they move to a new platform. Now, I'm running Windows 8.1 here. I'm running it in there in the living room. I'm not running it at work. I'm running Windows 7 at work. But for the most part, I'm running Windows 8.1. And it's okay. I like it pretty well since I use Classic Shell. Okay? If it weren't for Classic Shell, I'd be going all the time. Fortunately, I have Classic Shell, so I don't freak out about that. So anyway, ClassicShell.net. Go there. Download it, install it, life will be good. And I like the fact that I'm poking Microsoft in the eye every time I use Classic Shell. It just makes me feel better to be poking my eye at Microsoft. Not poking my eye, poking their eye. My metaphor slipped. Which they often do. Anyway. Well. So, it says here in ZDNet, the article I'm quoting from, if you want people to adopt your platform, make it free. Yes. That's a good lesson. Same thing was true of Apple releasing OS X Mavericks for free as well. They're beginning to get it. So anyway, that's the lesson in this month's web usage statistics from Net Market Share, which measure worldwide usage share of desktop and mobile operating systems and browsers. In October, both Microsoft and Apple released free updates to their flagship desktop and notebook operating systems. And despite the fact that the updates arrived late in the month, the impact was substantial. Microsoft Windows 8.1 clocked usage of 1.72%. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's just been released. That's actually pretty good. Doubling its share from the previous month. There you go. That gives the Windows 8X family a total usage share of around 9.25%. Almost 10% of the internet usage is through Windows 8.1. That's pretty impressive, actually. Okay. Historically speaking, it appears that Windows 8 is following the same adoption pattern as Windows XP, whose share of the install base was also just under 10% after its first year on the market. Usage of Windows XP, which celebrated its, now get this, 12th anniversary. I mean, for an operating system to be 12 years old, dude, come on. It's time to move on. Okay, its 12th anniversary in October continues to drop precipitously in net market shares measurements as it heads toward its end of support date, less than 6 months from now. Less than 6 months from now. For October, XP usage dropped to 31.24%. Come on, folks, that's still over, well, not over, but almost a third of everybody that's out there using XP. Come on! You guys got to get with it. Okay. A new low. Windows 7 usage is virtually unchanged from the previous month, with just under half of all PCs running that flavor of Windows. So, we got to get people off XP before April of 2014, or 2014, however you want to use it, because otherwise there'll be people writing malware directing it directly at XP and it'll just spread throughout the known universe. That's bad. So, there you go. So, hope you had a good netcast. I sure did. I enjoyed bringing it to you. Join us again next time. And remember, until next time, that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.